The Squiz is a free weekday email and podcast. We're your shortcut to being informed. Our weekday podcast is brought to you by CommBank, committed to being a better bank. Find out more at combank.com.au/better.
Good morning, I'm Claire Kimball.
And I'm Kate Watson. It's Monday the 19th of August. In your Squiz today, the fatal shooting of Australian Sean McKinnon in New Zealand, Hong Kong's protests continue peacefully, a new boss for Channel 7, and the second test is a draw. This is your Squiz today. Starting with the shooting of Australian Sean McKinnon whilst holidaying in New Zealand, he was with Bianca Buckley, his partner. They were sleeping in a camper van in a car park near Raglan, a surfing town in Waikato on New Zealand's North Island, when what appears to be a random attack occurred.
Yes, details have come out fairly thick and fast since that broke on Friday. The gunman allegedly hijacked the vehicle after shooting shots into it and drove off with McKinnon inside. She was able to escape, Bianca Buckley, and ran some kilometres. There's varying reports. Some say she ran a couple of kilometres. Others say she ran up to 6 or 7 kilometres, but to raise the alarm at a local farm. And McKinnon's body was then found in the van, which was abandoned about 80 kilometres away.
Do we know much about the gunman?
Not a lot. And it seems that the New Zealand courts have suppressed a lot of those details, including his name. What we do know is that he was arrested in an empty farmer's worker's cabin on Friday night. There's a question mark about whether he knew the person who had that cabin, but not a lot of details are known about that.
Bianca Buckley and Sean McKinnon were engaged. His family spoken over the weekend, his sister Emmeline McKinnon saying, "The worst was telling their mother we're just going to miss him a lot." In Hong Kong, protests continued over the weekend. Claire reports they were relatively peaceful.
Yeah, talking about varying reports, there was a push yesterday to get as many people to demonstrate as possible to show that the movement still has widespread support. Some reports say that there was just over 100,000 people protesting. That's what the police say. Organisers say there were up to 1.7 million. So there's a fair degree
of big difference.
Variance. Yeah. In that, no doubt some cameras will do some nifty work and tell us exactly how many people were around, particularly yesterday. But yes, peaceful protests, which were in stark contrast to what's gone down over the previous weekends. China, of course, has been very active in the last couple of weeks with threats, and it was important to organisers to show that they still had a lot of support and that they could do it peacefully as they push for more freedoms there.
On that topic, some coalition MPs yesterday expressed their concern about the influence the Chinese Communist Party has on Australian university campuses. This follows a number of clashes between pro-Hong Kong and nationalist Chinese demonstrators in Melbourne and Adelaide over the weekend.
Federal Education Minister Dan Tehan says that the government takes foreign interference incredibly seriously. In fact, they've just passed some legislation around that quite recently, and he said that they were working with the universities on that issue.
An international news wrap now, and starting with some pretty ugly scenes over the weekend in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, 13 people were arrested there. There was a far-right rally in Portland that had been previewed throughout the week. That's led to left-wing anti-fascist demonstrators who are known as Antifa coming and really being a counter-protest in that city. It was something that the city was really worried about over the week, and it seems that Donald Trump has also expressed his views, saying that he believes that those far left-wing anti-fascist groups ought to be looked at more closely and potentially ruled as domestic terrorists.
An Islamic State has said it was behind the bombing of a wedding hall in Kabul that left 63 people dead and injured more than 180 on Saturday. That makes it one of the most deadly attacks this year. The Financial Services Royal Commission is back in the news, Claire. It's been a little while since we've spoken about this.
Yeah, it feels like a million years ago, doesn't it, that that Royal Commission wrapped up. But in just fact, February. It was just February. Yeah. And Federal Treasurer Josh Frydenberg has already had a fair few jibes aimed at him about dragging his feet on those recommendations that came out of it. There's 54 recommendations that were directed specifically at the federal government for them to take action on. And a roadmap apparently will be released by Frydenberg today that will deal with about 50 of those to be resolved in the coming 12 months.
Look out for that. Big news in media on Friday. It was announced the boss of Channel 7, Tim Warner, had resigned.
Yes, that's the latest big move in the Australian media landscape. There's been a lot of changes in the last sort of piece of time, you know, things like Channel 9 buying Fairfax. And we know that it's a challenged landscape and challenged industry there. Rumours, of course, are that that financial performance of Channel 7 is what's driven Tim Warner out. And we'll know a bit more about that when they release their numbers for the last financial year tomorrow.
No guessing who's replacing him. It's already been announced. James Warburton, who actually formerly worked for Seven before defecting to become the managing director of Ten, will take the job. More recently, he was the boss of Supercars. A little bit of sport now, and the second Ashes test has ended in a draw.
Yeah, and for a match that's ended in a draw, it has garnered and probably will get a bit of attention before the next test starts a bit later this week. It was a very fiery duel between our former captain Steve Smith and English fast bowler Jofra Archer that really commanded a lot of attention yesterday. Lots of plaudits for both of those players for their skill, but it was Smith that came off the worse for wear. He had a very painful ball to the arm, but a couple of overs later, a ball from Jofra took Smith out. He hit the deck after copping a ball to the neck, and it was a fairly scary scene there.
Yeah, tough to watch that. He was checked and continued to bat, but then woke up feeling groggy, wasn't cleared and wasn't able to play overnight. We'll see if he's able to take part in the next test match to start in 3 or 4 days. And in rugby, Australia were looking for the win over the weekend to take out the Bledisloe Cup. Weren't able to do so. We went down to New Zealand 36-0. Claire, what's the subject line?
Subject line today, I've got bit of J-Lo from Monday morning. You got to get on the floor. That, of course, goes to Steve Smith, who hit the deck quite hard.
Okay, there you go. Bit of cricket, bit of J-Lo. J-Lo and cricket together. It's an unlikely pairing.
Unlikely combo, but that's what
we're doing that today. Huge thanks to everyone who is striving or has achieved Squizhead status. That's something you receive from us when you hit 5 or more referrals to say a big thank you. Your unique tracker in your Squiz Today email will tell you how far away you are. Our subscribers telling people about us is the number one way we grow, so thank you again. That's it from us this Monday. Have a good one, and we'll chat to you tomorrow. The Squiz is a free weekday email and podcast. We're your shortcut to being informed. Sign up at thesquiz.com.au.